You're listening to a teaching podcast from the Christian Medical Fellowship.
Hi there, I'm Andrew Horton, and this podcast is the second part of Hugh Thompson's opening talk at the 2011 National Graduates Conference in Derbyshire. Hugh's leading us through the book of Isaiah, chapters 36 to 40, and now let's hear him conclude on the theme of facing our doubts.
Well, we've heard what Hezekiah says. It's sort of summarised in chapter 37, verse 3. This is a day of disgrace and distress and rebuke when children come to the point of birth and there is no strength to deliver them. And we've heard what the field commander in Sennacherib said. We've heard lots of that. But what about God? What is God saying? That's what matters. Chapter 37, verse 6. This is what the Lord says, Isaiah tells them. This is what the Lord says, do not be afraid of what you have heard, those words with which the underlings of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Listen, I am going to put a spirit in him so that when he hears a certain report, he will return to his own country, and there I will have him cut down with the sword. Don't listen to Satan's lies. Listen to God's word, whatever crisis you find yourself in. Let me tell you a true story. During the Vietnam War, there was a soldier called Bao. He was conscripted by the Khmer Rouge. He was only 17 years old, and he was dehumanized by war. He saw his friend shot. He saw his girlfriend raped and strangled. He chewed narcotic leaves for relief and lapsed into dreams of a perfect world and then woke up again to the horrors of war. And one day, his troop was ambushed by a South Vietnamese patrol. And there was a battle, and only one of the enemy survived. And they stood him up against a tree to shoot him, and they gave him a last request. And this man didn't ask for a cigarette, which is what most people did. He asked to be read a portion of the book he carried in his top pocket. And Bao was told to read it out, and he got the book out, and he started. And Jesus said, but he got no further, because a helicopter gunship attacked them with machine gun fire, and during the chaos, the prisoner escaped. And the next day, Bao asked his troop leader, what did Jesus say? And the troop leader was shocked because they were all communists, of course. And Bao said it must have been important for that guy to want to hear it before he died. And the leader was furious and Bao was put in report. And then in the way back, Bao was struck with diarrhea and the troop waited as he went off into the jungle to relieve himself. And there was a huge explosion. And he returned to find all his companions dead and hanging in the branches of the trees. Well, Bao continued as a soldier for 4 more years, and every day he wondered, what did Jesus say? Finally, he reached Saigon, and his side were victorious, and he found a Bible on a dead person, and he covered it with brown paper, and he read it all the way back to Hanoi. And he said, I finally got to read what Jesus said, and I would die with these words in my ears too. God wanted to save me, and he spared me to hear what Jesus had to say. God's word is living and active and powerful. God's word speaks to us in every situation and every crisis, right up to the moment of death. Would you die with Jesus' words in your ears? Don't listen to Satan's lies. Listen to God's word. Whatever happens, whatever you're facing, whatever you may be going back to after this conference next week, listen to God's word. That's what Hezekiah did. And ask God to help you. Ask God to help you. When Hezekiah received the letter Sennacherib sent, basically saying, I've defeated all the other nations and you won't be any different, what does Hezekiah do? Surely his heart must have sunk, mustn't it? Surely he must have thought, could that be right? We're no different. Humanly speaking, that was right. Surely he must have felt a rising doubt and panic. What does Hezekiah do? Chapter 37, verse 14. Hezekiah received the letter from the messengers and read it. Then he went up to the temple of the Lord and spread it out before the Lord. Now that's a great example for us. Whatever our circumstances are, whatever our anxieties, whatever our doubts, take them to the Lord. Take that poor appraisal. Take that unfair complaint. Take that hostile colleague, that administrative disaster. Spread it out before the Lord. It seems to me so often when we find ourselves with a problem or a crisis that prayer is our last resort, and it should be our first resort. New Testament says, pray continually. Look, if something's worth worrying about, if something's worth talking about, surely it's worth praying about. Hezekiah's prayer is a good model prayer for us, and I wish we had more time to look at it. But look how he starts. He starts with worship. Verse 16. O Lord Almighty, God of Israel, enthroned between the cherubim, you alone are God over all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. He starts with who God is and what God is like and what God has done. I think too many of us, I speak for myself, I think too many of us easily rush into God's presence in the mornings in a hurry with our requests without taking time to worship Him. Start with worship. We're going to have a chance to think about that on Sunday morning when we get to chapter 40. Start our prayers with worship. Make time to start our prayers and our time with the Lord with worship. And then Hezekiah talks to God about what's happening. Verse 18, it's true, O Lord, he says, that the Assyrian kings have laid waste all these people in their lands. They have thrown their gods into the fire and destroyed them. Here's the situation, God, says Hezekiah. And as soon as you say that, it puts it into a right perspective. Talk to God about it, whatever the problem is. And now what does Hezekiah do? He simply asks God to fulfill his promises. Isaiah has declared that God is going to bring Sennacherib down, and Hezekiah prays that God would do it. Verse 20, now, O Lord our God, deliver us from his hand. And you know, these are always the best prayers. Asking God to do what God has promised to do. If I ask God to make me a senior partner or the lead consultant or a world-shattering breakthrough in research, he might. But that may well not be God's purpose for me. It certainly wasn't for me. But if I ask God to make me more like the Lord Jesus Christ, well, look, that's what he's promised to do. If I ask God to grow in me the fruit of the Spirit, that's what he's promised to do. Look in the Bible, see what God has promised you, and then come and ask him to do it. And that may require a shift in perspective and goals. Now look, anyone, even a non-Christian, might pray hoping that God might give him what he wants. Health, a happy marriage, well-behaved children, a successful career, financial security, a long and peaceful retirement. There's nothing specifically Christian about any of these. You don't have to be born again to desire these things. No evidence of saving faith to ask God for these things. If these are all you pray for, there's a problem, Christian. You're not putting the glory of God, the glory of Jesus, at the center of your life. So I want to ask, why does Hezekiah pray? And maybe you're thinking, well, that's a silly question. He prays hoping God will rescue him, doesn't he? Well, yes, but why? Verse 20. Now, O Lord our God, deliver us from his hand. Why? So that all kingdoms on earth may know that you alone, O Lord, are God. Our prayers are to be God-centered, not man-centered. Particularly when we have problems and doubts and difficulties. We spend so much of the time, I think, I speak for myself again, when I struggle or have doubts or difficulties, I look at myself and the doubts and difficulties. Hezekiah looks at God, and his aim is God's glory. So it's fine to pray, Lord, deliver me from this situation. It's better to pray, Lord, glorify yourself through this situation, whatever that means for me. When you don't know what to pray, pray, God, glorify your name, so that all kingdoms on earth may know that you alone, O Lord, are God. So there we are. Don't listen to Satan's lies. Listen to God's word. Ask God for help. And then lastly, trust God to save you. Trust God to save you. Isaiah sends another message to Hezekiah, and we hear again what God says. Chapter 37, verse 21. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Because you have prayed to me concerning Sennacherib, king of Assyria. See how praying changes things? Because you have prayed to me. Did you get it? Because you prayed to me, this is the word the Lord has spoken against him. The virgin daughter of Zion despises and mocks you. The daughter of Jerusalem tosses her head as you flee. Here's the message. God's people are not at the mercy of the world. The world is at the mercy of God. Now, I don't know what may be happening in your life, but maybe you feel you're at the mercy of the world because of some clinical disaster, because of your reputation's been damaged, because you've been opposed because of your faith. I don't know. But you are not at the mercy of the world. The world is at the mercy of God. So Isaiah says, or God says, listen up, Sennacherib. Verse 23, who is it you've insulted and blasphemed? Against whom have you raised your voice and lifted your eyes in pride? You've no idea who you're messing with. You have no idea who you've picked a fight with. This is the ruler of the cosmos, and you're just a little tin pot king. Pa! Can you have that perspective when you're up against it? What a reassurance for Christians in places where there's persecution. What a reassurance for Christians in any sort of trouble. God is sovereign. And in particular, everything that happens is part of his purposes. Verse 26, have you not heard? Long ago I ordained it. In days of old I planned it. Now I have brought it to pass. Everything that happens to a Christian is part of God's purposes, one way or another. All things work together for good for those who love God and have been called according to his purpose. That's how Paul put the same truth. Faith is not a feeling. Faith is not an emotion we have to work up in ourselves. Faith is faith in God. Faith is faith in Jesus Christ. If I believe a chair is strong enough, I'll sit on it. If I believe the ice is thick enough, I'll walk on it. If I believe the pilot is competent, I'll get in the plane and fly with him. Do you believe God is all-powerful and sovereign? Well then, trust him. Faith doesn't depend on you. Faith depends on God and what he's like. The cure for our doubts is not to look at ourselves and our doubts. It's to look at God. And here's what God promised Hezekiah. Verse 33 of chapter 37. This is what the Lord says concerning the king of Assyria. He will not enter this city or shoot an arrow here. He will not come before it with shield or build a siege ramp against it. By the way that he came, he will return. He will not enter that city. And that's exactly what happened. Verse 36, the angel of the Lord went out and put to death 185,000 men in the Assyrian camp. When the people got up the next morning, there were all the dead bodies. God's people didn't do it. They looked to God and God did it. And when they got up, there were all the dead bodies. In the evening, the Assyrians inspired terror. In the morning, the Assyrians were gone. So let's seek to put these principles into action in our own lives. When you struggle with doubts, when your theology is threatened by your experience, don't listen to Satan's lies. Listen to God's word. Look to God for help. Trust God to save you. And as we try to live these out, our model is Jesus. Jesus didn't listen to Satan's lies. He was tempted by Satan in the desert, turn the bread into stones, jump off the pinnacle of the temple. He didn't listen. Jesus listened to God's word. He quoted it back to Satan. It is written, don't tempt the Lord your God. Jesus asked God for help. Take this cup from me, he prayed in Gethsemane. But unlike the Israelites delivered from Sennacherib, there was no reprieve for Jesus from God's wrath. He died for our sins. And Jesus trusted God to save him. He predicted he would rise from the dead in the third day, and of course he did. And that's the source of our confidence. Look what God says, verse 35. I will defend this city and save it for my sake and for the sake of David, my servant. God saved his people in Isaiah's day because of the promises he'd made to David, for David's sake. And God saves us as his people now because of Jesus, for Jesus' sake. When you struggle with doubt, don't listen to Satan's lies. Listen to God's word. Ask God for help and trust God to save you. And you know, 100 years from now, none of us in this room are going to have any doubts about God. Not me, not you. And also not any unbelievers either. They'll know too. Who do you now trust? Trust God. God won't let you down. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, how we thank you for the history of your people set out in your word that we can learn from. Help us to follow Hezekiah's example. Help us not to be those who don't believe. Help us to deal with our doubts by looking not at our doubts in ourselves, but looking at you, who you are, what you're like, what you've done. Help us to turn to your word and there find the truth. Help us to turn to your word so we are not deceived by the lies that Satan pushes at us. And help us to follow in the footsteps of the Lord Jesus Christ, the perfect example of faith in you, and to remember that he died in our place for our sins so that we might be your children and have this confidence and access to you. Father, we commit the rest of the weekend to you and ask that you would richly bless us in Jesus' name. Amen.
That was the final part of Hugh's first talk at the 2011 National Graduates Conference. Hear the remainder of his talks in future podcasts from CMF, and also check out our blog, which is www.cmfblog.org.uk. But for now, goodbye.
You've been listening to a teaching podcast from the Christian Medical Fellowship.